welcome to today's episode of Speak to Transform. I have with me today a guest who is the founder of Journey Through. Diana Journey, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here too.
I am too. You know, we were just talking offline that we met years ago at a retreat in, was it in Texas? Yes, it was in Texas, right?
Yep, it was.
A long time ago by a coach that we both had at that time, Diane, and as well as just being able to take in the retreat. And I was fascinated by your story then, and I see that you are still continuing in the same vein, but at the same time, you've expanded out. So I wanted to have you on here today to let our listeners know about what you do, how you help couples, how you help women find their voice in their relationship. And before we get into that, though, let's start by sharing a little bit about how you came to found the Journey Through, you and your husband, Tim.
Yes. Well, you know, the saying, your mess becomes your message.
Yes.
Our mess became our message. And that was after 30 years of marriage, my husband had an affair. And we have since, I think we met, we've written a book about our story. It's called Our Journey, and it's Infidelity Revealed, Rocky Recovery, Marriage Restored.
Wow.
And that's in a nutshell what our story is about. I mean, it was revealed. It was a rocky recovery, but our marriage has been restored.
Wow.
And it was through that restoration that I heard God saying, you need to help others. That, you know, if you guys can get through this, anyone can. There has to be a willingness and, a desire, but people can get through it. Mm-hmm. And so we just felt the calling to help other couples.
Wow. And so how many years ago has that been?
That has actually been,
say 20? No, is it that long?
I think it's like 14 years.
14 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. What an inspiration for couples who are struggling in this area as well, because, you know, it takes a lot of commitment and obviously a belief that you can work through the struggle, the betrayal, the things that you feel, you know, the hurt, the pain, in order to come out on the other side stronger. What are some things that you found were very, very helpful for both of you that you want to share with other couples, maybe in terms of if they find themselves in that place of what to do now?
Well, I think the number one thing that I would want to share is that people have to be committed and willing. You know that, in a sense, I had to put aside all my pain and hurt and recognize that Tim also had not pain and hurt, but he had shame and guilt. So, you know, when he's holding on to that and I'm holding on to pain, we can't come together. We're both in our own circle, right? And so we had to learn to lay that down and then to become engaged with each other. And in that, it's a process. It takes time. That's when we wrote our book, I really heard the calling that it had to be written from both sides. So our book has my side and Tim's side.
Wonderful.
Because I knew that he was suffering too. I couldn't understand his suffering because I was in so much pain right then. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was there. And I knew that it had to be, that there were two sides to the story and it had to be revealed, both sides.
I think that's really powerful. Is so powerful because often it's just one side that gets told, but to be able to hear from both is really, really powerful. And not only as a book for people to read, but also for the people that you work with as well, so they can understand both and be able to navigate through some of the similarities or some of the things that they're having to walk through and understand. So what are some of the things that you find as you work with couples that maybe hinder from walking through the rocky part of it to a place of restoration?
The number one thing I find is if for the betrayed, holding on to the pain and the anger. And of course you're angry. You know, this was not supposed to happen. It wasn't in, you know, this wasn't in what we expected. It wasn't anywhere written that this was going to happen. And then it does. And so it leaves us angry. And it also leaves us in a feeling of we're almost better than them because we didn't make that choice.
Mm.
You know, the truth is that there's no perfect marriage out there.
Mm-hmm.
We all have ups and downs, but it's learning to walk through them in a constructive way. The one thing Tim and I say is that there was things in our marriage that he couldn't communicate with me and I couldn't communicate with him because we're not really taught how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just kind of going along with the best we can without the tools on how to efficiently communicate with one another.
Mm.
And so that caused a ripple in our marriage because we couldn't communicate with each other like we should have been about things that were important.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You touch on a really important point there because I believe that is one of the areas that really, I think couples really settle for. They settle for a lack of intimacy when it comes to communication or a lack of ability to communicate or just kind of settle for just, okay, we're just existing. We're just doing life together side by side. But this whole area of connecting at a deeper level, that's really powerful.
Yeah, and that's what we found is that, you know, and we teach our clients tools to help them go deeper in their communication. And that connection that brings is just amazing. It's, you don't realize how good it is until you experience it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you, let's just go back a bit. How did you, when this happened to both of you, you know, was this the first thing that you decide, okay, we're going to work through this, or what was the process and how did you come to that place deciding, you know what, we're going to get through this?
Well, and I tell my story that when I first found out, I was probably like most betrayed spouses.
Mm-hmm.
Tim either saw me as the lion attacking him, like, how could he do this? How could he make this choice? Why didn't he come talk to me? That kind of anger coming out all the time, or the puddle on the floor because I was so sad that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw me in one or two areas. And I honestly believe those actions kept him from coming to me, from wanting to. He said he was there. He said he wanted to heal the marriage, but he wasn't really engaged in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also it opened the door for the other woman to continue to reach out to him and him accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, you know, when I look back, that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a tug of war with my husband and I don't know it. And she's calling going, hi, how's things going? Where I'm attacking him.
Yes.
Or crying on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I really got serious with myself and looked at that, who would I rather go to? Who would I rather gravitate to?
Mm.
You know, and so it really took me coming to a day of surrendering all my fear that he would leave me, that I would be alone and that my marriage would be over, and surrendering that to God and letting him, God, tell me I was going to be okay no matter what happened.
Mm.
So it was that surrendering, really surrendering, because I would say I probably surrendered millions of times in those 9 months when we were in this rocky recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure millions of times, Lord, you take it, you got it. And then I take it back like that. Right.
Right.
So, but this one time, this one day, I surrendered totally and I felt it. And there was immediate change in me. Immediate. Mm-hmm. I became more peaceful. Mm-hmm. Still didn't know what was going to happen. I still didn't know what Tim was going to choose to do. But I knew that I was going to be okay.
It's powerful.
And it was that change that really brought Tim to a point, because he looked at me and thought, oh my gosh, she, look at her peace. How does she have that peace? And he decided he wanted that peace too. So that was really the catalyst in us really moving forward.
Wow, that's so powerful. To kind of describe that in that push and pull, and how that repels each other or draws each other together in that shift.
Right.
Wow. Exactly. Wow. What a beautiful work that you do to help couples navigate through the pain and brokenness and guilt and shame of situations they find themselves in terms of threatening their marriage or infidelity and things. And I would imagine that this is a very, very common story in terms of even in faith-based marriages.
Right. You know, statistically, it's the same. Mm-hmm. In faith and secular. It doesn't matter. It's the same. And that's, to me, that's really sad. But, you know, go back to the fact that if we had better skills throughout our whole marriage, mm-hmm. I believe less would get to that point, you know?
Yeah, that's a good segue. And so let's talk a bit about some of those skills. We talked about communication. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's more you want to say on that. What are some things if someone's listening today and they say, you know, I want to prevent that from happening to our marriage, what would be some of the things that you would encourage them to do or be intentional about?
Well, I would say the number one thing to be intentional about is, you know, go out there and find a counselor or a coach just to kind of help you. Be intentional about taking a marriage program once a year. Be intentional about joining, you know, your Connect group at church or doing a couples group somewhere. About doing a date night regularly. You know, those are things we kind of let our busyness distract us from. And we go, oh, yeah, we didn't get that done this year. We'll go next year to that seminar. You know, but we have to be intentional to have that marriage. You know, marriage is difficult. Living with another person is difficult. Yeah, but there's so much joy there too when we do it right.
That's so good. So good. Those are some great, great tips. Just really being prioritizing. What I hear you saying is really prioritizing the other person.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, a matter of fact, before we started today, I was working on a kind of a new thing I'm starting, and that will be like a date night, the weekly date night suggestion, you know, because even as we get older, we kind of forget what we do and we get stuck in our, what we always did. You know? And so to just, you know, think out of the box, do it differently.
That's so true. You know, it's so true. I have been, I think when you and I met, pretty sure I was a widow. My first husband had passed away. And so I was a single mom, but I have since remarried and we've been together for 12 years, almost 13. And that is one thing that I can attest to. We made a commitment to weekly have a date night, and it is such a sacred thing for us as well as, but it's really so powerful because it makes a statement, but it also helps us to have carved out that time where we are just say, nope, this is our night. Nothing's going to get in the way. Obviously there's times when it happens, you know, one is at a time or the other, but we always make sure that we have it on another night if we don't make it that night. So that, because we realize that it takes, like you said, it takes cultivation, it takes work to grow to grow love and to grow the relationship to deeper places and not just become familiar with each other where we take each other for granted. So yeah, that's very powerful.
Yeah. And I don't think any of us got married to get to a point in our life where we just settle, you know?
No.
We want to have that connection and we want to be joyful where we're at. So, you know.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot, I mean, I meet a lot of women where there's misunderstandings from maybe what they've been taught in religious circles or places of upbringing or cultural. And I believe it hinders them a lot from even fully engaging in their marriage relationship to the degree that I believe God wants them to. So I know that you also work with women in this area in terms of helping them find their voice. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like and why you felt like that was something important to really hone in on for women?
Well, because I found a lot of women coming to me. I do lead a support group for women. And, you know, they would come and they just didn't have a voice. And so in that not having a voice, they felt very unsettled in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to help them find their voice. So hopefully they would find the joy that they could have in their relationship again. Mm-hmm. You know, when you feel like you can't speak up or be heard or mm-hmm. understood, it's a lonely place to be. And it's a frustrating place to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I help women find their voice. So they can speak in a way that their spouse, and we go back to communication because it's all about communication, their spouse can receive it. Because often we speak in a way that our spouse doesn't receive. Mm-hmm. To have them be able to receive it gives that whole different twist in it, that now all of a sudden I feel like I'm heard. I feel like my spouse just understood me.
Yeah.
And it gives me a whole different feeling inside.
So powerful. Yes. I was just thinking as you were talking about how, you know, if this is a complete change, if for both spouses to be able to communicate at that level or to be able to speak to one another and be heard or to hear, it's like you said, it's a process, but to be able to work through that to a place of where it becomes common or becomes just a normal part of their relationship, I'm sure that there's a bit of working through on both ends,
right.
Well, feels awkward. It feels like, oh,
yeah, that's what I get. Well, that really felt awkward, but you know, I tell them just stay persistent. And I've seen over and over times, you know, because first of all, I'm asking them to do the work, and their spouse has no idea why things are changing, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, stay committed and continue on. Because in a sense, you're dropping seeds and you're helping them to learn a new way to do communication mm-hmm. too. But mm-hmm. they don't know it because they haven't worked with me. Right. So you're leading them. And most times one starts to work, the other will follow.
Right.
But it's slow. It's not mm-hmm. going to happen overnight. I tell them, don't expect this overnight.
Yeah.
You just stay the path, you just continue on, and eventually they'll be following you. So
it's so good. And I can imagine that even in that place, because for whatever reason, the woman doesn't feel like she has a voice, there could be a lot of layers of healing that happen as well as she begins to step into that arena. Would you say?
Yeah, there's a lot of healing. And we deal with that as we're going. Mm-hmm. You know, because I always say we got to get rid of that. We can't carry it because mm-hmm. if we carry it, it's going to hold us down and it'll hold us back. Mm-hmm. And we don't want it to. We want to have the life that God desired for us. And if we're carrying all that baggage, mm-hmm. we're not going to get it.
So what are some of the effects that happen as you've worked with women who are in that and they learn how to have a voice and step into that? What are some of the things just for our listeners to hear and to understand the benefit of even engaging in that process?
So I'll tell you a story. One of my favorite clients, I worked with her for about 3 years, which is longer than most, I will say that. But she came to me and really could not, her husband was not understanding her at all. Matter of fact, when she talked to me, and I did meet him once, I really understood what she was dealing with. He was sort of a bully. And so when they would have an argument or something, he would back her into a corner, or felt like it, right? And she couldn't get out. So with working with me, I taught her how to get out of that corner. And the side note on that is that we always go back when we're stressed, when we're, you know, any of that might be going on, we might go back to old behavior. It got to where she went back to old behavior occasionally, and her husband would say, "When's your next session with Diana?" So he had come so far and got to so used to her in the new behavior and the new technique she was using, that when she reverted, and we all revert, so we have to give ourselves grace when we do it. We can't hold on to that. But when she reverted, he would say, "When's your next session with Diana?"
That's so good.
So
It is. Continue on.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, like you, going back to what you said earlier, it's like as one person starts to move in the direction of progress or growth and stuff, it naturally kind of causes the other person, or, you know, unless the other person is completely checked out and don't want anything to do with it, that's a whole different story, I'm sure.
Right. And I do say to my clients, and I am a believer in marriage, obviously, but I do believe that God loves us individually more than he loves our marriage. So if you're doing the work, if you've made the changes, and the spouse is not willing to follow or to go get help, then you do get clear picture of where you need to go.
Yes. Yeah. And those are decisions, hard decisions we need to make along the way. But the first thing is, you know, doing what we can, right? It's our responsibility.
You do all you can, and you make the changes you need to make to be the healthier, better you, in the hopes that your spouse is going to follow you.
Beautiful. Well, Diana, if someone is listening and they want to get a hold of you or find out where to buy your book, where's the best place to reach out to you?
The book is on Amazon, of course. And then they can reach out to me at either one of our websites. We have two now, and it's pretty easy. They can get on one, and you can see at the top, it clicks to the next one. So if they're looking for help with a couple, that would be The Journey Through. That's www.thejourneythrough. And or if they wanted to like have individual help, they can check me out at www.dianajourney.com. And my journey. Without the E.
Yes. So,
you know.
And the name of the book again, so they when they look for it?
It's Our Journey, Infidelity Revealed, Rocky Recovery, Marriage Restored.
Beautiful. By Diana Journey. If you're just listening to me, I've not seen it. It's J-O-R-N-Y. Diana and Tim. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Diana. Is there any final words that you want to leave with our listeners today before we close out?
You know, yes, I would like to say, you know, if your marriage is even just a little rocky, do the steps. Because I know God designed marriage, and he wants us to be happy and joyful in our marriage. So be intentional. Take some steps to get all that you can and all that God wants for you in your marriage.
So good. Yes, so good. Well, thank you so much, Diana. Always a joy to connect with you. And I love the work that you and Tim are doing. Such valuable work. Such intentional work, and just really advancing the kingdom through marriages.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. It was so good to see you and catch up a little bit.
You too. Yes, it's been way too long. Well, if you're listening today and something resonated with you, make sure you check out Diana's website, her book, and get in touch with her in whatever way that you need to do that. Or share this episode with someone that you know needs to hear and have hope, maybe for their marriage or some steps that they can take right now, wherever they find themselves, so that you can walk in the fullness, not only of you individually, but also in your marriage as God designed it, so that He would get the glory and people will know that there is a God of possibility. There's a God that can help turn situations around where people thought it was impossible. So thank you so much, everyone. Have a beautiful day, and we'll see you next time. As you're listening today, you may have felt prompted to say, I want to become a much better speaker. I want to be able to speak with confidence, clarity, and transformational impact. I want to invite you to check out the link in the comments below, wherever you're listening to this. Your voice is an instrument of transformation and needs to be heard. So let it be heard.